Merry Christmas to you. We'll open a word of prayer, and then we've got a reading from the Word, and then we're going to sing some songs. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you in that mighty name of Jesus. At this time of year, we think of Jesus even more because this is when it all began. This was the very beginning of the new covenant, a new and living way to be righteous in your sight, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. And so hear our prayers as we come together to worship you. We pray, Lord, you will be blessed by the praises of your people. You will be blessed by our grateful hearts. We will put a smile on your face today, and then you will come and abide with us, as your word tells us, and you will inhabit the praises of your people. Inhabit this place, Lord, we pray, as we worship you and you alone. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible for God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. Let's sing. Seated. We'll get some calisthenics in today. In the interest of your heart health, as well as your spiritual health. Matthew chapter 1, in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Praise God. Let's all stand. I've never done this before, you know.
Hark the herald angels sing.
Songs and fall while fields are floods, rocks, hills, and plains. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as.
We'll do the first Noel too. Praise God. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Praise the Lord. Let's stand again and sing one more song. You can sit if you choose. Hallelujah.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Till through the golden skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely place they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its battle sounds the blessed angels sing. Life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing, and rest beside the foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing.
Praise God. Once again, please be seated. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen. Let's stand one more time. Christmas Eve, and we've just read the biblical account of the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, whom God promised. And we've sung the songs that also tell the story. This event is truly a great miracle. We read how Mary was visited by an angel, Gabriel, and how he told Mary that this miracle that was going to happen was going to involve her. Now, the Christmas story, in its essence, is the Almighty God coming down from the heavens and entering into a human life. And then a new life grows within that life. It is eventually born as a human being through that life and then is revealed to the world. And upon being revealed, that life changes the whole world. This event is truly a miracle. God entered into Mary. He grew within her. He was born as a human being from her. He's revealed to the world through that birth, and he changed the world. And the truth of the miracle is that God wants to do that in each and every one of us. Mary is like our example So let's look at four different points. God entered Mary's life with his very own life. Mary is just an average, if not even lowly person, just like you and me. God wants to enter into your life and my life too. He wants to come upon you and overshadow you, as we read, and by his Spirit to enter into your heart and make a home within you. He wants us to hear the biblical account of who he is and believe in him as God's Son and our Savior. Perhaps you're thinking, I've already confessed my belief in Jesus as my Savior. And that is true with many of us, hopefully all of us. But we must always allow God to enter into our lives in new ways, constantly. We have to allow him to enter into areas of our lives that may need renewal, whether that be in our finances or perhaps in our commitment to doing God's will in our lives, or for our relationships with our spouse or our children or our parents or other family members or loved ones. Many of these things are somewhat broken. We need to let the Holy Spirit in and renew us. We all go through times when we walk our walk with our Lord and it becomes a bit stale and we just keep going through the motions. But God wants us to enter in and he wants to renew us. He wants to interrupt us, just as he interrupted Joseph and Mary's life, and he wants to do great things in us. I think of Revelation 3:20, where Jesus says there, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in, and I will eat with him and he with me." The essence of abiding together. So do you hear that knocking? Is he knocking on your door? Is he outside your door saying, "Let me in"? Perhaps you called back to him and said, "Go away. I have all I need of you in my life right now." Or maybe you're calling back and saying, "Well, come in, come in." But the door is inadvertently locked. God is outside saying, "I would come in, but the door is locked." Remember it said in Revelation, he hears my voice and opens the door. We must respond to God. We have to get up. We've got to open the door. And we've got to do like Mary. What did Mary say? She said, "Let it be to me according to your word." Can we say that in our lives to our Lord every day? "Let it be to me according to your word." Secondly, God wants to grow inside of us. Just as the life imparted to Mary had to grow within her, we must allow the Holy Spirit of God to grow within us. We must nurture this life that is within us. Or actually, am I more comfortable just saying, "Well, I know he's in me, that's good. But I don't want to get, I don't want to get any further interrupted by allowing him to grow in me." But just as a woman cares for her body much differently than she did before she was pregnant, so that the life within her will thrive, so must we care for ourselves much differently in the spiritual sense. As we believe in Christ, to create that atmosphere where God will thrive in us. We must spend time with him, reading his word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in praise and worship. And in doing his will instead of our own. Serving him so that he will grow within us. As John the Baptist said in John 3:30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." That's hard for us. But that's what we're called to do. But do we hold back because we fear what this increasing within us is going to lead to? Are we ready for the commitment that is needed when we allow God to grow in us? The next point is what nurturing that life of Jesus in us leads us to. What happens? That is, as Mary gave birth to Jesus, he was revealed to the world. We read a lot of the story already. Well, we must allow him to be born in us and to be revealed. We are to let others see the reflection of Christ in us. We must have his life so thriving within us that it just overflows from us and is clearly seen by others. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." I love that. What a challenge, though. So how does Christ appear to others when they look at you or me? How does Christ appear when they watch us? Are they peering through a clear glass and seeing a clear image of Christ? Or is the glass dirty and streaked and only a vague image of Christ is being seen? Or is it even a distorted image of Christ? Is the image people are seeing an accurate image of Christ? Or do they see any image of Christ at all? Believe me, as I pose these questions, they're aimed directly at me as much as anybody else who's listening. I'm not wanting to be condemning. I'm just wondering, how am I doing? How are you guys doing? And fourth, God wants us to change the world. He wants to change the world around us by his life being revealed in our lives. Just as the birth and life of Jesus changed the world forever, God wants the life of Jesus in us to be revealed, and by that revealing, change the world around us. To reveal here means to make known or to make visible or to expose to view, to exhibit or to display. Think about that. God wants Christ to be made known, to be exhibited and displayed in our lives in a way that it will engage the world around us. Change our families, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers. God wants to change each one of us, and through that, change the world around us. Jesus even said someplace, unless you change and become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. We have to change and have that childlike faith. And so how do we respond to this desire of our Lord? Well, we can look at Mary's response. We've already read it. Her first thought was, how can this be, since I know not a man? Might we ask the same spiritual question? How can that be, Lord, since I don't really know you? Then the angel responds, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you. And the same response is to us. If we just open our hearts, the Holy Spirit will come upon us and overshadow us. For nothing is impossible with God. Mary then said, well, may it be to me as you have said. Essentially, in our vernacular, okay, then, let it happen. You ready to let it happen? But is that really our response? Often, I don't think it's the first response I've ever come to, I must admit. But we have to respond, and we must allow God in. He will not come in uninvited. We must invite him in. He will interrupt our lives over and over and over again, trying to get that invitation from us. But we must allow him in, into our lives, before he will come in. We have to get up and open the door. So now let's see more of Mary's response and learn from it. Let's continue reading in Luke chapter 1. And we start in verse 39. Okay, this is where she said, I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said. And the angel leaves her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is that child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. So here we see the angel said that her cousin Elizabeth was with child. So Mary went with haste to the hill country to see her. She wanted to confirm what the angel said to her. She wanted to see that what the angel told her of Elizabeth was true, and so then help her believe the rest of all that the angel said was also true. And it was doubly confirmed by Elizabeth's statement to Mary before Mary even could say anything but hello. Both Elizabeth and the baby in her womb leapt, the baby being John the Baptist, and they knew immediately by the Holy Spirit that they were in the presence of the Son of God. Wow. When we hear from our Lord, it is always wise to seek and receive confirmation before rushing headlong into something we think the Lord told us to do or say. We must always test what we think that we've heard against God's word, for God will never, ever tell you to do something contrary to his word. So Mary now receives this great confirmation. For Elizabeth knew that she was already with child and who the child was. And it's not that Mary didn't believe. It's not that. She didn't know exactly, you know, when and how this was going to happen. But with Elizabeth's confirmation, she now knows. And in the next verses, Mary praises God with great joy in her hearts and her soul and her spirit. It's that whole part of Mary's song. It's called the Magnificat. And we too should respond the same way, praising God with great joy that he is coming into our lives in a new way. But for those who don't get up and open the door, they will not have the great joy that one has when they are nurturing that life of God within you. God wants us to have the joy of his salvation in us so that we can have that heart like Mary and say to him, may it be to me as you have said. Hard though. That's where he wants us to be. And I love the innocence of Mary. Then Mary shows great appreciation further on in verses 48 and 49 to God, where we read, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. She writes, she says. Do we show appreciation to God for his love and his salvation upon us? We all know how great it feels to be appreciated, right? We love being around people who tell us they appreciate us. Well, God too wants us to appreciate him. He wants his children to tell him how they appreciate all he has done for them. Mary expresses God's power and his willingness to empower us in verses 51 and 52, where we read, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He exalts the humble and brings down the rulers from their thrones. Do we have all the power that we need to withstand the trials of life? Not without Christ in us, growing in us, and being revealed in us. Who doesn't need more power? I know I feel overwhelmed sometimes, overpowered by the world sometimes, and weak. But then I stand on God's word. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10, Paul wrote this under the power of the Holy Spirit. He wrote, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We lack the power we need unless we allow Christ's power to rest upon us. I love that verse. So that Christ's power may rest upon me. God gives his very best to each and every one of us when he offers to come into our lives. When we open the door, he said he'll come in and he'll eat with us and we with him. Now, we often see products in the stores that have several different similar products that say good, better, and best. Why don't we just buy the good one? Why don't we just buy the better one? Well, God wants us to have the best, and he offers us the best. Maybe we don't buy the best because we don't think we can afford it, but God offers the best because guess what? He paid for it. It's paid for. So why choose anything other than the very best when it is set right before us? God wants us to do great things in each of our lives, that we would be glorified, that he would be glorified, and that Christ would be revealed to the world through us. But we have to say yes. We have to open the door. We have to get up, unlock the door, and welcome him in. Mary would have never been known if she had not said yes. So let us pray that we overcome our fears and just say yes to God entering into our lives in a new and a more powerful way. and enter in every day. In areas that we maybe kept for ourselves, we have those little spots that we want to keep, or in areas where we find ourselves actually struggling. God wants to give us his favor, his blessings, his very best. And there's no greater blessing than having a son living and growing in us and being made known to the world all around us and changing the world all around us through Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that sounds kind of hard to me. But then as we read your word, and I read your word, I realize, but we're not doing it. You're doing it. We just have to get up, open the door, and let you in. And then say, may it be to me as you have said. So help us, Lord, if we hesitate at times. Help us, Lord, when we close the door. Help us, Lord, when we say we're tired of you. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Because even when we're not faithful, you are faithful. So we thank you for your faithfulness and thank you most of all for this wonderful gift that you've given us in the person of yourself being born, living as a human being, living the perfect sinless life, thereby being the perfect human sacrifice to cover the sins of the entire world. And Jesus, you willingly dying on the cross, not being dragged away, but walking up willingly to pay our sin debt in full. So now we have this wonderful, new and living way to speak with you, Lord. And we thank you for it. Help us to treasure it. Help us to praise you for it. Help us to see all the very best things you have for us simply through that relationship. Hear our hearts of thanksgiving and praise. Amen. Amen.
Hear the angel voices, oh.
you, Lord Jesus. Amen.